Middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Over the years, I've learned how important it is to be proactive in taking care of my own body. So eating healthy, staying hydrated, and being active, along with the right supplements, have helped me stay at my very best. And certainly, a strong immune system is important for all of us. So I'm really proud to announce this amazing new product from TB12 that will provide you guys exactly what you need to stay healthy, strong, and resilient for whatever comes your way. Check this out. You are going to love it.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. That was Tom Brady making his announcement on his Instagram account about the newest product from TB12. It's called Protect. It is a supplement. Here's the ingredients list for Protect.
All right, let's hear
vitamin
it.
C.
Gotta have it.
Zinc.
I heard that's good.
Elderberry.
Fine.
Larch tree extract.
Let me stop you right there.
I know.
What?
I don't know.
And sounds like something from the Lorax.
Probably. And beta-glucan.
Oh, it has beta-glucan in it?
Yeah, it does.
Take two of those.
A bottle of 60 tablets sells for $45. Now, obviously, you've got to be a little careful with what you say, because this has not been FDA approved.
Oh, boy.
But he's got to be careful. He says, and I'm quoting now, help your immune system recover from the effects of stress, optimize its response, and keep you feeling your best.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly crap, but I feel like most people know that, and you don't have to buy this stuff. It's just, you know, he's hawking it. I'm like, okay, good for you. He has a whole bunch of stuff for years that you've been able to buy. You know, you think you take some of those powders or some of those mixed nuts, you think all of a sudden you're going to be like, you'll never get sick, and you'll, you know, in this case, you won't get coronavirus, which I know he's very careful to say. He never mentions coronavirus
because he can't.
He can't. And so, you know, his people told him that, but it's just, there's so much innuendo around it. First of all, it's called Protect during a pandemic. Protect from what? Like the common cold? Don't think so. That's not what people are worried about right now.
So
allergies? Nope, that's a different thing.
Yeah. Former colleague Alex Reamer, writing for Forbes, did an article about this. And in the piece, Alex talks to emergency physician and medical toxicologist Ryan Marino.
Okay.
And I don't know what a medical toxicologist is, but let's just say that's fine.
Relation to Dan?
Because not that we know of.
It could be a conflict of interest. Okay.
But he says that, you know, all of these ingredients, vitamin C helps the immune system, yada, 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 yada. He said it's also water soluble, meaning excess amounts leave the body through the urine. And Marino says you're basically pissing your money away.
What a great line.
I know.
Yeah.
I
mean, all right. That's what you're doing. I've told this story once before, and I'll tell you again because it involves both the things that you just mentioned. So vitamin C, that was always like my thing. Like, oh, I'll take vitamin C. When I'm starting to feel sick, I'll take vitamin C. Like more of it, right? Like take vitamin C pills. And a kid I went to college with, both of his parents were doctors. And he told me, you can take as much of that as you want. He's like, take more than you think. And I go, well, I already take like this pill, which is like 1,000% of your daily thing or whatever. He's like, no, take as much as you want and like you won't get sick. No. I took so many of these vitamin C pills, and where it really came back to bite me was urinating, because hurt like a mother. It was worse than any kind of cold I could have possibly gotten. I was like, thanks a lot for your vitamin C tip. He's like, oh, yeah, like that's like a side effect of it. I'm like, that's horrible. I don't want this. But that's the whole point, is that you're taking these pills, you're getting your vitamins, but then it just exits the, you know, see you later. It's gone.
From the Reamer piece, he points out that the recommended vitamin C dietary allowance for men is 90 milligrams.
Okay.
A cup of chopped red pepper contains 190 milligrams of vitamin C.
Well, I don't know.
Far more than you need.
Chop some red pepper? I'm not, you know.
There are dietary things,
in
other words, which more than cover the things that you need here.
A nice glass of OJ.
Now, the bottom line here is none of this stuff is going to hurt you. I mean, these are vitamins, and they may not help fight off coronavirus.
Yeah, is it worth a buck a pill, or, you know, give or take?
Yeah.
I think so.
$45 for 60 of them?
Mm. I mean, I again, you don't have to buy any of this stuff. And for some reason, he wants to, you know, pitch this stuff. I don't love the timing of it, you know. But again, as somebody who, you know, in this case, Brady has a business. If you are hawking stuff that is supposed to help your immune system, I guess now would be a good time to do it. But you just wonder if there are people out there who are scared and they'll do whatever it takes to not get it. And if they think there's even a 2% chance that this helps them, it seems like they're just kind of flushing their money away. Like, go buy a red pepper, go buy a zinc pill or something. You don't need to buy this Tom Brady approved Protect, which is also just such a cheesy name. Just the cheesiest name.
Now, he's not selling you something that I think is going to harm you. He's not, you know, pitching something that could do you harm. But is he pitching you something that he's implying is going to help you fight off coronavirus?
Yes.
While not saying it?
Yes, 100%. And that's why, like, he can't get sued, because he's not saying, take this and you won't get coronavirus, and then somebody takes it, they get it, they sue him. You can't do it because he never mentioned that. But if you just, like with every Tom Brady interview that he's ever done, you have to read between the lines. And what is he saying here? He is saying, if you take this, I'm not saying he's saying it's 100%, but he's definitely alluding to the fact that this will help you not get it. I still maintain that if he was under Truth Serum and you asked him, you're like, hey, Tom, with everything that you do for your body, do you think you can get coronavirus? I guarantee you he would say no. He'd be like, nope, I can't, because I take Protect and I'm in good shape and I drink a lot of water. I guarantee you that's what he would say.
He might think that way, actually. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, mind over matter, and maybe, you know, mentally there's something to be said too for just how you, like, mentally you can really affect how you feel physically, right? Like, anybody who stresses themselves out, sometimes that leads to like a physical ailment. Right? Like, if I'm nervous about something, I get like a stomach ache. It's like, well, what the hell? Like, it's a mental thing. So if Brady, and I'm not saying that prevents coronavirus, but I'm just saying for Brady's sake and some of his ability to stay healthy might be the you know, insanely positive attitude that he has.
So earlier today on the Greg Hill Show, on their Twitter feed, at the Greg Hill Show, they ran one of these Twitter polls, which is still up right now. It was, has your perception of Tom Brady changed since he signed with Tampa Bay? 61% of the respondents so far have said no. But frankly, the fact that 39% said yes surprises me. Because I'm guessing the perception of Tom Brady was totally positive here, and 39% of the people who've responded have said, yeah, that might have changed since he's gone. Now, some of that is the fact that he left. Some of the fact that, you know, that he's out working out with his Tampa Bay teammates and he wouldn't do OTAs here.
Well, so many people, if they're being honest with themselves, didn't think he was going to go. You know, we had our big board in the office, and it was probably 60-40 that he was going to stay. But when we opened it up to callers and fans and listeners and stuff, I feel like most people thought he was going to stay, right? So as soon as he left, that regardless of anything that he says, as soon as he's gone, I think that probably changed the perception of Tom Brady. But if him selling these pills or things like that is changing your perception, I'd ask why. Because again, he has had the TB12 facility, but the TB12 website and all the stuff that you can buy on there for a while. Remember the cookbook? How much was the cookbook? The cookbook was like expensive. Everything he has is expensive, you know? So that's why I feel like,
now to your point, nobody makes you buy it, right?
Nobody makes you buy it. Nope.
Do what you want with your money.
Right. I would want to not buy this stuff. That's how I would spend my money. Actually, you know how I think I might be spending my money? After The Last Dance.
Another sword?
I still need to perfect the one. As good as I am with the one, I think two would be a little leery.
I was watching one of those episodes of Game of Thrones, and you know, the one guy who had the two swords, he was like Stark had said he was the best swordsman he'd ever seen, and he's the guy with the two swords. Ned Stark said he was the best he ever saw. I thought, if Keith could do that.
I know.
I mean, he was like a windmill with these two swords.
Who was it? Was it Cyril Farrell?
Sir Arthur Dane, I believe.
Oh, was it Sir Arthur Dane?
I mean, he died, but that's besides
the Sword of the Morning.
Dario Naharis was good with he had like a big crazy sword. And then Oberyn was very good with a sword and a spear, even. Yeah, no, I'm good with the one sword. No, after The Last Dance, I've been looking up old 1990s NBA jerseys, and I feel like I need to buy jerseys again.
Why not?
I don't see why not. You get them delivered right to your house. I don't even have to leave. I can just a couple of clicks and boom. I have
get
my,
in there.
My whole summer wear.
Is it, I mean, we're talking tank top without a t-shirt under it, right?
Correct. You go NBA jersey and a bathing suit. That's how you spend June through August.
Is that
it's
it?
Not bad.
Could we maybe keep the social distancing thing going for the show here?
No, that's fine.
617-779-7937. Joe's in New Hampshire. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, you know, Tom Brady didn't invent this marketplace.
Of course
I mean,
not.
This marketplace is $1 billion. So people are already spending $45 for 60 pills. So, I mean, if you're into nutrition and you're into sports, it's kind of a no-brainer to get into the fitness sports industry. So, I mean, he's not saying anything relatively new. He's not breaking ground.
No, I know, but don't you think a lot of people might see some of these other people hawking supplements and just be like, all right, it's a little shady.
Well,
it's
you
little...
use the word hawking supplements in a derogatory term. He's not hawking supplements. He's starting a company, and his brand is TB12,
right.
And he's promoting his brand. You call it hawking.
Yeah, I say hawking. So he's hawking supplements. Well, he calls it Protect.
So he's hawking loogies. He's hawking supplements.
No, I didn't say loogies. I haven't seen him spit anywhere.
But seriously, so I mean, you know, it's not like you guys are like making fun of him and like his belief system that these supplements could possibly work. And I'm telling you that it's a $1 billion industry, so he's not the only one.
I don't think any of us said he was the only one.
No,
he's the only Hall of Fame football player that's currently in the league that's doing it, I believe.
And the timing of it, the name of it, the
although
carefully
Russell
crafted
Wilson,
wording of his release.
Yes.
Did sort of indicate that there's a connection between a coronavirus pandemic and this, you know, let's be honest, it's just a multivitamin.
Yeah. And it's not just Brady. I mean, it would be anybody that if they did this. Like, for example, like some of these like nutrition guys or some of these whatever that are already doing it, it's a little bit different because that's kind of just what their field is and that's how they're known. But if Aaron Rodgers popped up and was like, hey, take these pills and like you can protect yourself against anything that could be out there, I'd say the same thing. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, I'm not saying, oh, you can't do this. How can you do this? It's just, I don't know. You're probably going to trick some people into buying this and thinking, you know, giving themselves like a false sense of security. Yeah, I think he's hawking pills. That's how I view it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get right back to the calls with you guys on this topic and more in just a couple of minutes. But first, it's time to trend.
Now, WEEI presents Cooking Tips with Dale Arnold.
It's a bad plan to boil a dead cat that you haven't gutted yet.
Dale and Keith on EEI.
617-779-7937. Real quickly here as we get back to the calls with you guys. You know, you were saying you would take the Bruins in 7 if they played Toronto in a playoff series?
Yep.
So Nesson is replaying a lot of classic Bruins games and Red Sox games.
Oh, of course.
And last night was Game 7. Down 3-1, you know.
Ridiculous.
Tie it, win it in overtime on the Bergeron goal. And it got me to thinking, what was more unlikely? The Bruins to win that Game 7 down 3-1 late in the third, winning it overtime, or the Pats down 28-3 in the Super Bowl against Atlanta and coming back to win? What was a more unlikely win?
I still think 28-3. You know, I think, again, it was pretty crazy, the series of events for the Bruins to come storming back. But I just think the Falcons, just if they ran the ball like once or twice, they probably win the game. Like, I just think the Patriots, based on how much time was left in the game, needed so many more things to go exactly the way that they did in order for them to come back and win. I mean, both were crazy. And to watch them live, it just... you felt like, all right, this thing's over.
Yeah,
and then
there's no
all
chance.
Of a sudden, wait a minute. Oh, wait, now they're back in it. Oh, okay, overtime, and then whatever. So I would say I don't think anything tops, as far as in-game, I don't think anything tops the Patriots Super Bowl.
I mean, and obviously it's the Super Bowl as opposed to the seventh game of a playoff series. If the Bruins had done that in the seventh game of the Stanley Cup final, it might be on more even footing. But
probably, yeah, just for what was at stake. That's true. Because then, I mean, you go to the Red Sox coming back against the Yankees in the playoffs down 3-0.
Yep.
That's the greatest serious thing you're ever going to see, because you're like, and especially the way Game 3 went, you're like, oh, there's no way they're going to win 4 in a row. And then they do. But, yeah, all three of those teams, just ridiculous comebacks.
All right, back to the call. 617-779-7937. Kevin's up in Maine. Hey, Kevin.
Tom Brady is Gwyneth Paltrow of the NFL.
Goop.
She seems
I have a hard time arguing with that.
Yeah, he's doing the same thing.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with it. With that take, I mean, I think that's fine. I think, like, to Dale's point, like, there are certain things, you know, if you have a, you know, vitamin C, zinc, and whatever else, and you're promoting it, whatever, not going to hurt you. Now, it may not help you to the degree that you're suggesting, but it's also not going to hurt you. Where it really loses me and probably some other people was the nonsense about, hey, if you drink enough water, you can't get a sunburn. Like, that's just legit not true. Like, that's wrong. And if you're telling somebody that, they're pounding waters all day, and then they get, like, a brutal sunburn. Like, that was because of you. And they listened to you, which, again, that's their choice. But still, you've steered them in the wrong direction. There was also the stuff, you know, with Guerrero going back, like, with the concussions. Now, they've walked away from that. And I want to say Russell Wilson was a part of something like that, too, where they had, like, concussion water.
I think you're right.
You're like,
yeah.
Yes, it was concussion water.
Concussion water. Like, that's insane. That's an insane thing to be promoting. So, again, the protect multivitamin, not nearly on the level of concussion water or even the fake thing about you can't get sunburns, but it's still, I don't like it. Like, I think it's, and I don't know enough about the Gwyneth Paltrow stuff, but I'm guessing it's kind of similar where it probably
doesn't
hurt.
It seems more hucksterish to me, even more than Brady's, Paltrow's. Is.
I don't know enough about it. I'm guessing it's just kind of stuff where it's like dressed up multivitamins or things like that.
Right.
I don't know. So, and you're like, all right, yeah, if you take it, fine, but
and
is it really going to make
back,
a huge difference? Not sure.
And I've got to go back and look. I believe, from what I remember, Paltrow was making claims that were just ridiculous, and at least in Brady's case, he's not saying, he's kind of hinting, but he's not saying, take this and you won't get coronavirus.
In this case, yeah. No, this case, he's not saying that, but man, to be pitching the product now and, you know, to name it what you named it and certain things like that, and just the way he talks too, like, oh, if you want to, you know, protect yourself against anything that could be out there, like, oh my God, like,
hey, gee,
like,
I wonder what could
what's
be out,
out
there,
there. Yeah, it's the only thing that people are talking about, like the number one topic for the last 2 months. So yeah, we're on to it.
617-779-7937. Mike's in New Hampshire. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
What's hey, Mike. Going on?
Hey, I just want to touch base real quick on Tom Brady and his releasing a new product. I feel like these products have been around for years and years and years. You can go into any Walmart or drugstore or supermarket and find 12 of them. But because he released it now, everyone's on him, but nobody's saying anything about the other people not pulling them off the shelf or reducing the prices on them because of the pandemic. I mean, if he can make money off this, it's not like he's making money off the pandemic. It's just it happened to be the right time. Most people don't release this type of drug until October, November, when the flu season comes around. But everyone else,
well, wouldn't he
you know,
be making money off the
product?
You said he's not making money off the pandemic, but he's just making it off the time. But isn't the time tied into the pandemic? So wouldn't he be making money off the pandemic?
No, for sure. I completely agree with you. But okay. Would it be different if it was regular, there was no pandemic, and he released it in October when the regular flu season came around? I mean, I just feel like we got to stop bagging on these famous people for doing what they normally should be doing or would be doing. And honestly,
why should he be doing this?
People?
No, but I would also ask, like, some of the other, and I'm not saying that there aren't similar products on, you know, in stores right now or available online, but how many of their pitchmen are a current professional athlete?
Oh, no, for sure. I completely agree with that. Yeah. But, so he's using his name, I get that. But at the same time, who's to say he's not actually helping people by taking this? Because, I mean, let's face it, if you boost your immune system right now, maybe you're better off. So
maybe. I mean, there's an article
well,
with
you're
a...
certainly
with
not
a,
worse a, off. That's what we said. He's not
you're
hurting
not worse
anybody.
Off. But like a doctor said, you're not really helping yourself that much. And that's a doctor. And when these... Anytime there's a product that is being pitched and then they're like, oh, by the way, like it hasn't been approved yet. And you're like, well, why not? Because you decided not to get it approved or you know that it won't get approved. Like, what's the deal here? Like, isn't that in and of itself to me is a little shady.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess we go back to the other thing and everybody's talked about this is, you know, is he trying to corner every dollar there is on the planet?
I mean, I'm not going to fault a guy for wanting even more money than they have, but in the means in which he's doing it, I guess you're like kind of, I mean, to me, I just kind of roll my eyes at it. Like, I'm never going to buy any of that stuff. So hard for me to freak out and demand him to not sell it. Cause again, he's not hurting anybody. It's just a question of,
and nobody's like, making anybody buy it or
no, but I just, you know, there are a lot of people out there that will. And like there was a caller before that was saying, you know, he's not the first one to do it, which we know, and we haven't said that he is. And say there are several similar items out there. You don't think that some people are going to buy it just because Tom Brady's name's attached to it? That's the whole idea of, like, endorsement deals. Like, why else was Michael Jordan selling shoes? Because you're going to buy Michael Jordan shoes.
And more shoes than anybody's ever sold.
Right, right. And there's a reason for that. So if Tom Brady or if anybody is selling anything, I think the whole hope is that people will buy it because they think he's going to steer them in the right direction. Whether, I mean, again, not probably the best way to go through your life, but that's kind of what it's been for a very long time.
Is he, now I'm just asking, is it possible that he is just that naive, that altruistic? I want to do anything I can do to help people out there. I don't care about the money. I only care about helping people. And I think this helps you.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, I don't know if he thinks that it helps him, you know, because that was one of the things where I think when he was starting to get people questioning the whole TB12 method, it felt to me like there was like a little bit of a pivot to being, well, this is to make you the best you that there is, right? Like, this doesn't mean like you're going to be this great person or this, you're going to be in that great shape. You're just going to be in great shape like for you. And like, there was sort of a pivot to that, but I don't know. I mean, part of, for him to be so committed to it, like, he kind of has to believe it, doesn't he?
And I think part of the problem here from a perception point of view is his connection with Alex Guerrero and Alex Guerrero's track record concerning what were ultimately proven to be false claims for things that he was trying to tell you to buy. I mean, there literally was supposedly some cancer cure thing that Guerrero was tied up in that got him in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
So
oh,
now
yeah.
Brady's...
Yeah.
You know, Brady's connected to him, not that he was then. I'm just saying there's kind of that damning with the same shade that Guerrero gets damned with.
He's definitely lumped in there. And you would think that he wouldn't be this far down the road in the whole TB12 program or brand if it wasn't for Guerrero. You know, I'm sure those guys are going back and forth with what they think are the best products to sort of put out there.
617-779-7937. Again, the fact that 39% of the respondents to the poll on the Greg Hill Twitter feed today, 39% said their perception of Brady has been changed, shocked me. I mean, that seems like I would have said 2%, 3%, 5%.
Yeah, the only 39? Thing I can think of is maybe if you just took his reasoning for not going to OTAs on the surface and just said, oh, like, he wants to spend more time for his family. He's in his 40s now. His kids are growing up. Like, that's something that I can rally behind. And then during a pandemic, he's organizing, you know, team workouts down in Tampa. And you're like, oh, so he lied about that. It had nothing to do with his family. Like, he just didn't want to show up at OTAs because he wasn't getting paid enough. That, I guess, could change your perception. But I never really bought the family thing anyway.
Which flies in the face of what we all thought about him here. You know, he didn't demand top dollar all these years. He could have demanded more money. He allowed Belichick to continue to build the roster around him and spread the money more completely.
Right.
It seemed like he was like the selfless man here.
Right.
And now you're looking at it and saying, oh, so if they'd paid you more, you'd have shown up to OTAs.
Yeah, that's what it kind of seems like. And so maybe then you change how you view him. You know, maybe that's, I would think it would have less to do with this immune booster, which again, he's always kind of had stuff like that, or at least for a while, he's kind of had stuff like that. But maybe it's just, you know, the first day down in Tampa, you know, he's going to his offensive coordinator's house. He's organizing practices and all this other stuff. And you're like, oh, that seems like a change.
Did you see the cut? I saw it on Twitter today where Cameron Bratt was basically saying they're teaching Brady the offense.
Interesting.
And he was basically saying, you know, it's kind of weird. And he was admitting it's kind of weird, like we're teaching him the offense, which, you know, he is starting from scratch. I understand all that. yeah. other than Gronk, you know, who does he even know on the roster? Who's right. he ever played with? Who's he ever thrown to, handed the ball to? So all of that's true. And yes, I do understand that that's one of the primary reasons that he's not doing this extra workout in the offseason that he didn't want to do here.
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah, the offense didn't change here in New England, but a lot of the players did. So you could make sort of the same argument for him to still go. But down there, things are going to be different. And I bet they don't run the exact same offense. I bet they kind of have to do, like any good coach is going to take his best players and put them in a position to succeed. But it also, you know, we were going back and forth on this when he was trying to pick what team to go to. I guess in this case, you know, you don't have to teach 10 guys a new playbook. But they weren't going to run the exact same thing that, you know, he ran here. That just wasn't going to happen.
No, nope. And it sounds, though, that he didn't, like, bring his playbook to Tampa and said, okay, right. Bruce, Byron, here's the playbook. Make sure these guys get this down before we start training camp.
Well, which is funny because if you think about it, last year it seemed like he had enough problems with the playbook here. So maybe he wanted to run different stuff because he wasn't really enamored with what they were doing here.
By the way, there's a report out there, speaking of football, but a side note. Josh Gordon is applying for NFL reinstatement.
I mean, good luck to him.
He'll get it. I mean, for some reason.
Yeah, the commissioner really likes him for some reason.
He's and got again, a soft spot in his heart for this guy. And not that I don't believe people.
Thing, because, yeah. again, Josh Gordon hasn't affected other people, right? It's so self-damaging what he has done to himself. Like, he's cost himself so much money, so many quality seasons on the field, but it's not like you are reinstating a guy who is like a multiple time domestic violence abuser and all this thing. Like, he's
yeah, this
he
guy's
has a
hurting
real
himself,
problem.
Right?
Every time, every single time, he's been hurting himself. And I don't know if you're a team why you would think this is the time. Like, this time he'll straighten it out. Obviously, everybody hopes that he does. Like, you hope that his life, he's able to, you know, have some normal existence going forward, but to take a chance to get him into your team, to get him to, you know, to have the other teammates trust him, have him out there on the field, and then boom, you got to pull him off. I mean, it happened twice to the Patriots. Like, how many times are you going to allow that to happen? So
now Mike Florio, writing about this, said, you know, Aldon Smith, as you've been reporting on Trending Now, has already been reinstated. Randy yeah. Gregory is supposedly pursuing reinstatement. Josh Gordon's got to be thinking, why not? I'm not like those guys. Now, this is Florio writing. As the source explains it, Gordon is doing well. What else is the source going to say? I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest the source might be an agent.
Could be.
Oh, he's doing great. Are you kidding? He'll be great. He's working out and he's ready to play, says Florio.
I mean, he's just been suspended so many times.
He is an unrestricted free agent. He obviously didn't play very many games with the Patriots, 12 in 2018. He played 11 games with the Seahawks in 2019, but he has satisfied his contractual obligations, can sign with any team out there, and I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest one of those teams who will not be offering any sort of a deal is the Patriots.
Yeah, they just can't. I mean, there's really no reason to. And even though I don't love the depth chart for the Patriots wide receivers, he's, as we saw firsthand, he's not the same player that he was. And he wasn't going to be. I mean, in 2013, he was one of the two or three best receivers in the league.
1,646 receiving yards. Right. And he missed two games that year.
And he was on the Browns.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. He had nobody throwing to him. Wasn't Hoyer probably throwing to him a little bit? Like, that was... Like, yeah, that was a rough team. And so you see him now and you're saying, how could somebody take a chance? And then what would you expect? What could you possibly expect? I said, fine. I loved it. I loved it when they brought him in originally. And you're saying, all right, well, he was in Cleveland. He's had some time. He's missed two seasons, came back for a few games and was okay then. And now you get him in New England. You're like, all right, let's give it a shot, right? Why not? But then he goes out, and after the Week 15 game of the Steelers, then he comes back. He's allowed to play again, and then is gone.
Which shocked me. I never thought he'd be allowed to play
right.
again.
And then
he didn't
gone.
Play in 15, no. didn't play in 16, played five games with the Browns in 17,
right.
played
like
12
games
with the Patriots in 18, 11 right. games with the Seahawks in 19.
And got and no, he played... he started the year here. He played 11 games total in 19, but it was, I think it was like 50, it was like six here, five there, or vice versa. And, but then boom, suspended again. It was in December. He was suspended. Same thing, performance enhancing drugs and substance abuse. And the fifth time he violated the policy, I mean, I don't know. So is some team going to take him and then, you know, give him a chance to get suspended for a sixth time?
According to Pro Football Focus, and this won't shock you, the Patriots have one of the worst wide receiving cores in the entire National Football League, which we kind of believe anyway.
Yep, joining the quarterback room and the tight end room.
We didn't need Pro Football Focus to tell us that.
No.
But even given that, and the fact that Josh Gordon is a supremely talented player, I just think Bill Belichick is going to say, nope, been there twice, not doing that again.
Yeah, and I also wonder, like, where he's at right now, you know, like, as far as...
Oh, he's doing great. I don't know if you heard,
out. I mean, even if he's cleared to play, let's say he's either clean and sober, or at the very least, he's passing the drug tests. What type of receiver, like, how much of an improvement is he anymore? If you were getting the 2013 Josh Gordon, it's a huge improvement, and it's worth taking the chance on. But in 2020, I mean, now you're talking about 7 years ago from when he was really, really good. I thought he was somewhat productive here, but he's 29 years old, and he just, the last few years, doesn't seem to be a game changer by any means. And as little as N'Keal Harry showed you last year, wouldn't you rather see what you have in him than Josh Gordon?
Of course, yes. Of course. No, I agree.
And so they already have Sanu and Edelman under contract. So just between Sanu, Edelman, Harry, maybe Myers, maybe Marquise Lee. I mean, those are the guys that you're going to have for now. You don't need to take a chance at Gordon.
I don't think they will. Somebody will. And it, isn't your normal instinct now to say, well, Dallas will?
Yeah, maybe
Jerry will.
Go
get him.
But they just drafted a guy, too, and they gave Amari Cooper all that money. But, I mean, you never know. They could. I mean, they had an opportunity last year. But I just think, at this point, if you were a team and you were going to bring in Josh Gordon, wouldn't you rather see what the deal is with Antonio Brown?
See, I actually think there's a chance a team will sign Josh Gordon. I'm not sure there is a chance a team will sign Antonio Brown.
I just think at this point,
talent-wise, Antonio
Brown's
not
even close.
Better.
Yeah, right. Now it's not even close. So I would say, hey, neither guy, and that's the Patriots. I mean, they were teammates on the Patriots. Like, neither guy is super reliable, to say the least. But if you're going to take a shot at a guy that it's like, I don't know, 50-50 that he makes it through the season, I'll take the guy that could still be an all-pro rather than the guy who's probably like a third receiver on a team.
Yeah, he'll be a third receiver somewhere, but not here. He'd be one here, but he's still not going to be. By the way, did you see the picture of Julian Edelman working out? He looked
he looked
like he's in the bubble at Gillette. I may be wrong about that. He's in a bubble, you know, in an indoor facility. I thought it looked like the one at Gillette. He's got shorts on, no shirt. Because, if I was built like that, I'd never wear a shirt either.
Sure.
But he's running routes with a mask on.
Yeah.
And, you know, he looks great. I saw where Rob Ninkovich, responding to the picture on Instagram, said, you know, oh, if I could look better at 34 than I did at 24. Because he is ripped. He is jacked.
How's his shoulder? Is it?
I don't know if that's good at all. I couldn't tell in the picture.
Yeah. It looks normal.
All right. Well, that's good news.
It doesn't look like he has a second head growing out of his arm anymore.
Right. That was the reports for people seeing him in the locker room. So that's good. If he's healthy. I mean,
start.
Right. He's still really good. And he had a good
guess
year last
year,
even with all the drops.
You just wonder how long he'll be healthy, right?
Right. Yeah, 100%. And seeing him play without Brady is going to be kind of jarring. For him more than even for us, but it's going to be weird.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but I'm looking at the picture again. I'm pretty sure that's the indoor practice bubble behind Gillette.
Yeah, I'm guessing he doesn't have his own bubble.
Well, and I'm also guessing, I guess guys are working out down there, huh?
Yeah, but I don't think you're supposed to be taking pictures of it yet, are you?
Well, and assuming they didn't Photoshop the mask on, you never know. Assuming that they didn't Photoshop the mask on, this would be now. And I didn't think they were supposed to be working out down there.
Well, I don't think guys are supposed to be working out all around the league, but they all are.
Tom Brady also responded to Julian Edelman's Instagram post.
Leave it alone.
It's been liked by 287,000 people. Edelman writes, 2020, new face mask, same routine. And Tom Brady wrote, going to be a hell of a story.
Leave him alone, all right? You deserted him.
Stop putting salt in the wound.
I know. Like, give me a break. It's like the ex-girlfriend commenting on your posts. Like, we're done. Stop.
Oh, you look great now. Like, why don't you shut up and leave me alone?
This is my revenge body. I hate you.
I hope she's good enough for you. You know, that sort of thing. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Still to come, our Awaken 180 take that needs a 180. That's coming up at 1:30. The Dale and Keefe Movie Club at about 1:45 or thereabouts. It's Dale and Keefe Sports Radio, WEEI.
The reviews are in.
First of all, I'm a Daleaholic. You guys listening to you two together is great.
Thanks for being on every day and entertaining us.
This is Dale and Keefe.
Hi, Dale.
This show has really grown on me. Rich is whacked.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's clear one thing up about the Julian Edelman post. Apparently the face mask, the mask that he's wearing is not Photoshopped on, but I've been told that is not the practice bubble behind Gillette Stadium. This one's in South Weymouth, I think, John, is what people are telling us.
Yeah, it's at Union Point in South Weymouth. They have their own like sports bubbles down there.
There you go. Okay.
So,
solve that.
You know, the whole idea about working out at the Patriots facility, that he's not doing that. He's
so can I go
out,
to this? Can I go to this place and have a catch?
Have a catch with Julian?
You should be good.
All right, I'll head down there.
How far can you throw it? Because Wiggy said he can throw it like 50 yards now.
Yeah, I would say probably. I could probably throw it 40, 45 would be my guess. If we ever are allowed back in the parking lot, I'll.
Once you get really loosened up, you can hit that 45 mark.
I think so. That's probably where I'm at. Yeah.
Well, he certainly does look like he's in fine physical shape, doesn't he?
Yes, he is a specimen.
And Tom Brady says, going to be a hell of a story.
Oh, God.
He's trying to get him down there right now.
Yeah, he's like, trade deadlines week 8? Like, we'll get you.
Let's get him down here.
Hang
so,
tight.
There's been a lot of response, obviously, to The Last Dance. There was a round table. It was produced by Bet Online. And the round table, which ran yesterday, featured Horace Grant, Ron Harper, Bill Cartwright, Craig Hodges, and it was hosted by Dave Kaplan, who is a host at ESPN Radio in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Kaplan made a point on the roundtable, which I believe, but I found interesting.
Did you three guys believe that Scotty was portrayed accurately? Because friends of mine who are friends with Scotty from the Chicago area have talked to him, and he said, no, I think it was how I was portrayed.
So
I believe Scotty does think that way.
Yeah, and he might. And I guess my question would be, what about the documentary was unfair to Scottie Pippen, who got a lot of camera time? Again, if Michael Jordan was the clear-cut guy they interviewed the most, and again, why wouldn't it be?
Why wouldn't he be? Right.
Who do you think got the second amount of airtime? It was probably between Scottie and Phil, don't you think? Right, because they talked to so many people. Kerr got a lot by the end.
Yeah,
you know, because Kerr wasn't on the 91, 2, or 3 teams. So I think Kerr got a lot more as the documentary picked up. But if you take the 10 hours that we saw, I think it's probably close between Phil and Scotty, who we heard from the second most. Because again, there were so many people, and it's all a drop off after Michael. But I really don't know what was that unfair to Scottie Pippen. The game in which he refused to go in is a part of the Scottie Pippen story. It just is. And it also happened to be the full season that Jordan didn't play. And I thought it was compelling because you got Kukoc, you got Bill Cartwright, all these guys, Phil Jackson, all talking about it.
There was the part in, and it was one of the earlier episodes, where Jordan seemed to kind of insinuate that he was a little upset that Scottie went and had the surgery done.
Yes.
Where, I mean, really? I mean, you get to decide how this guy feels and whether or not he needs surgery? Really, Michael?
Well, he didn't think that was a team thing, but that's what Jordan said. It's
right.
Still not
and I can see where
Scottie.
If I'm Scottie Pippen, I'm saying, really? You're going to rip on me for getting surgery done?
Yeah, but how does that make Scotty look bad? Like that's...
Oh, I think it did, because the insinuation is you weren't a team guy. You weren't there to help us. You're worried about yourself here.
Well,
that was the insinuation I took from it.
Yeah, but where's he wrong? That was 100% a selfish thing. I happened to be on Scotty's side, and so was Phil. Phil had no problem with it, and some of the other guys were saying, you know, because he wasn't getting paid as much as he wanted to. But if you look at it on the other side, you signed a contract. You weren't happy with it, and so rather than getting your surgery done in the summer because you didn't want to bleep up your summer, your quote, you said that as part of the documentary. Jordan, so was Jordan supposed to be happy with it? Like, that is nothing. That's not making Scottie Pippen look bad. That's Jordan's opinion of what happened, and I'm sure other people shared that same opinion. That's not a team first thing.
And I said earlier, as this thing was going on, I didn't think that Scottie Pippen looked especially good in this throughout the course of this. Krause looked the worst. They just eviscerated Krause. But Pippen
Reinsdorf,
was...
I think Reinsdorf looked worse than Scotty. I think Isaiah Thomas, for a lot of people, looked worse than Scotty. I think the worst thing in the whole documentary was Scottie Pippen himself saying he would have sat out again. If he could do it all over, he would have powdered. But that was him.
I agree. And like, we said Horace Grant, all these guys are doing. You can't say that, even if you think it.
Right. That was the worst spot to me, because all of the other guys, like Horace Grant now after the fact, are saying how unfair it was to Scotty. I just don't see it that way. Like, if Michael Jordan was unhappy with Scotty, then so be it. And then it's up to you to either agree with Jordan or agree with Pippen. But they gave you all the sides of it. Like, Phil Jackson had no problem with it. The head coach was like, if that's how Scotty wanted to deal with it, so be it. But like, if you were a teammate and the guy opts to take a surgery, you know you have to get surgery, and you get the surgery done in October or whatever instead of June, as a teammate, why would that not be selfish?
We talked yesterday about Horace Grant, who obviously said he had issues and you know, was kind of taking Michael to task. And he even said, you know, if I saw him, you know, I'd be respectful, but it's not like we're close. If Scotty and Michael ran into each other somewhere on a golf course this summer, how do you think that would go?
I think,
like,
according
to the guy from ESPN Chicago, Scotty is BS, his word, not mine, about how he was portrayed. So my guess is probably not great.
Yeah, but doesn't Scotty have to look in the mirror? Like, the worst things in the documentary were that for Scotty, I think, were said by Scotty. And if Michael should have just only praised him, because Michael did praise him. Michael said in the documentary he's the best teammate he's ever had, and he's never won. He, talking about himself, Jordan, has never won a title without Scotty. That's pretty high praise for the best player in the history of basketball. But it doesn't mean, you know, a guy that you played with for that long doesn't mean you're only going to have positive things to say about him. But and so if Scotty's got that thin of a skin about it, then, like, that's on him.
As a radio legend once said to me, you know, you can get 100 fan letters that you know, love everything you do and talk about how great you are. You get the one written in crayon that rips you, that, you know, keeps you up at night. And even though Michael Jordan says nice things about Scottie Pippen, I can almost guarantee that Pippen's sitting there saying, really? You stuck that in there? What was that about? You know what I'm saying? Even though it's like players, you know, who get praised left to right and back and forth, and one person says something negative, and that's the thing they seize on.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. But, I mean, I think, I don't know, I like the fact that these guys were able to talk about other players and not just sugarcoat the whole thing. It would have been a pretty boring documentary if every guy liked everything that every guy did. Like, that just it wouldn't be realistic. And again, I go back to Scotty. I think a lot of people did defend Scotty. I think Phil Jackson did. Again, Jordan was both sides of it, good, bad, and indifferent. I mean, but you had the other guys, when they were talking about Scottie Pippen quitting, Jordan wasn't on the team, so the guys that they did talk to who were on the team, they were all devastated by it. And they talk about Bill Cartwright was crying. He was crying, and he was like, you just quit on us. And that's something that Scotty did. So, but did they have to put it in the documentary? I think so. I guess Horace Grant is arguing that it shouldn't even have been in there, but I'm like, well, then is that the whole story of the Bulls of the 90s? I think that was a pretty big moment, and that's something that happened a long time ago. They talked about it. So if Scotty's going to – like, that's not unfair to me. Like, that's something that absolutely happened, and then you get a whole bunch of players who are there to weigh in on it. I thought it was good.
Well, ESPN had a huge documentary that ended this past weekend, a 10-parter, they're 30 for 30. They've got another one coming up this weekend, which I'll bring back to your attention in What Else You Got. But there's yet another one coming in 2021, and it might include somebody you know.
Hmm.
We'll tell you about that when we come back. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.